then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, tell me why you hurry so. Hush, you vocal, hush and listen, and his cheeks were all aglow. I bear orders from the captain, get you ready quick and soon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, for the pikes must be together by the rising of the moon. Oh, then tell me, Sean O'Farrell, where the gathering is to be. In the old spot by the river, right well known to you and me. One word more for signal token, whistle up the marching tune, for your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon. By the rising of the moon, by the rising of the moon, with your pike upon your shoulder by the rising of the moon. Out from many a mud walled cabin eyes were watching through the night. Many a manly chest was throbbing for the blessed warning light. Farmers passed along the valleys like the banshee's lonely croon, and a thousand blades were flashing at the rising of the moon. At the rising of the moon, at the rising of the moon.
This is your lordship, Lord of the Northern Realm, Lord Goyhammer. And with me, as always, my comrade in the trenches and my brother in fight, Sir Stephen Lanzer. Also tonight joining us from the state of Washington, he's a regular contributor to Radio Free Northwest, Northwest Front Party member, Andy Donner. Thank you very much, comrade, for coming on tonight's show.
Hey, greetings from Seattle, guys. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your schedule to join our show. Me and Mr. Donner have been going back and forth, basically on Twitter. I really respected a lot of things he had to say, a lot of insight that he had on things. I am very stoked about this. I'm very happy to have him. I don't know where we didn't even have a topic kind of laid out, so I don't even really know where we're going to go, but I definitely appreciate you stopping by.
Well, thank you for having me. And yeah, we didn't settle on a topic, and that's actually all right, because I kind of feel like spitballing with whatever you guys have going on today. One of you had mentioned that lamenting the state of white nationalism in general, and that's always an okay thing to do in my mind.
Right, exactly. Sometimes I feel like Harold really gets, and I don't know if he does this for propaganda, pep talk kind of thing, but he seems to get down on the movement as far as trying to encourage people to get active, trying to get energy, and I'm always like sidebarring him, saying reinforcements are on the way. You know, there's people that I know that are interested in moving out there. Definitely going to happen. I know things move slowly. I think specifically with the Northwest Front, it's been interesting because it seems like there's a lot more urgency with Harold's messages, especially since this whole alt-right thing's kind of hit this high crest wave. And I think it's really going to putter out eventually. I don't think the alt-right really speaks for white nationalism. And as far as I'm concerned, we can tear that subject a new asshole day and night. But.
Well, it certainly doesn't speak for white nationalism. No, I mean, I listened to a couple of your back shows just so I knew what you guys were up to, right, especially with the housekeeping just a few days ago. So I can use this sort of language freely around here. I don't think the ass clowns running the alt-right have any concept of any sort of a plan or even a definable objective, right? We had one of our, I use this term loosely, but one of our guys email Harold, and Harold passed that one around the party just because it was an interesting email, and he currently lives out east, and there was one of these big alt-right whatever dues was happening. And so he actually spent his own money to get out there, spend time with people there. And the idea was he was actually going to try and approach Richard Spencer when Richard Spencer got there for the purpose of trying to pitch him on the Northwest Imperative.
Right.
You know, to have a serious political conversation about why aren't you supporting this?
Exactly.
And it wasn't going to happen because you couldn't get anywhere near Richard Spencer. And that was because he's basically, it looks like he's nothing but a media whore at this point, which is pretty obvious. And I'm just using him as an example. But anybody else that's leadership cadre in the alt-right is, like I said, just a giant ass clown. I mean, even TRS, I don't know why TRS has so much credibility, because some former TRS people blew the lid on that, and TRS is basically a story of libertarian faggots and the Jews that run them.
Exactly. You nailed that one in the head.
Exactly. I mean, that's all that it is. I think the only reason these people have any credibility, and even if a relative handful of them, B and C class leaders that may be running around, they may actually think that there's going to be some just event or a happening, or the scales will fall from people's eyes and we'll all do something. And then right. White homeland or whatever. Right. And well, that isn't how things work. Right. And there's no realization. Right. That's not how things work. So there are, here comes the profanity again. There are what I call a whole bunch of stupid bitches of both sexes. Again, on Twitter and every other social media outlet that will say things like, no black pills, please. And that's just in response to you stating a basic fact that there is no plan other than, say, the Northwest Imperative. And everything that everybody's doing propaganda-wise is actually not even that bad. I have to give it some credit, right? A lot of people put out a lot of really good propaganda, but it just stops. You know, it's all of this, I'm raising awareness, or I'm a white advocate, or whatever. There are so many things right about that, but it never goes past step zero.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We did a show a couple shows back with a gentleman named Michael from Golden State Skinheads, who were the Spartans over at the Sacramento blowout everyone talks about. An interesting thing is every time you heard about Sacramento, which Patty Tarleton actually even ended up doing a song about, you never heard about the guys that actually were in the midst of the fight. So we actually reached out to those guys because they were having apparently some legal issues with the feds hopping up all kinds of charges on them and basically bending them over and sticking the Constitution up their ass. The interesting thing about that is that he also mentioned, and also we agree with, is that the alt-right's victories are not our victories. We can only share the road with Base Stickman and other alt-right people for so long before they end up turning around and turning their sticks and shit on us. And we've said this on the show for a long time. And I think in some ways it ostracizes us from a lot of other shows and a lot of other content because we kind of roll in NS circles. As the alt-right bloomed and as the alt-right became kind of like this movement, we tried to get a benefit of a doubt. We tried to, okay, what is Richard Spencer about? I know where he's from. I know exactly the school he went to. I came from that area. I know exactly what he's about. But at the same time, when you come up in those circles and you're starting to accept Jewry, or you're funded by Jewry, or you accept faggotry as a norm, then I can, exactly as Harold was always pointing out, then no, those agendas are not our agendas. And on top of that, you're playing in democratic circles that are not geared for us to win. You have to extract yourself from the entire democratic process. Fuck voting. Forget that. I mean, seriously. The whole alt-right is basically failure to jump street, and I would not be absolutely surprised at all if it was funded by Jews. Just as simply subversion, as literally diversion and division for whites to not get anything done. It wouldn't surprise me at all. It's completely by their playbook. And in the meantime, they're basically like, oh, well, we're going to have this guy run for this, or we're going to play in democratic circles. For what point? Because whites are never going to get a step forward, not in our real racial interest anyways.
Well, in the vein of our racial interests, anytime anybody proposes anything, we have to examine it very critically and say, okay, what does that get us that we don't have right now?
Yeah.
And I have yet to hear the alt-right suggest anything, ask that question of, and get a constructive answer from.
Right. Well, yeah. You know, you can't get Richard Spencer to denounce faggotry, which Harold points out quite often. And as time's gone on, he's actually gotten more blatant about it. And I agree with him. I think you need to start making agendas. Are you for white nationalism or are you not? You talk about ethnostates, but you don't have any game plan. And I actually proposed, ridiculously enough, and I didn't expect it to go anywhere, and I proposed it to Richard Spencer and to Harold. I'd love for them to have a conversation. It'll never happen, because Richard Spencer would never, ever, ever talk to Harold, as far as I know. But I think those two guys, as far as I'm concerned, as far as the old vanguard and white nationalism goes and holding up the mantra, which we respect and what we think is a national socialist, versus the popular, super cool fad of alt-rightness, I think it's a well-deserved conversation. I think it's a conversation that should happen. I don't think it's a conversation that ever will happen, though.
Oh, I doubt it. What would come out of that? And I can tell you right now, I gave that talk on discernment a few weeks back. I can tell you right now what would come out of this conversation just because it's so clear in my mind what would happen. And what would happen is that the entire alt-right would be exposed for what it is. The rank and file at the very low level may be excellent quality people, but they're super ignorant. And if they weren't super ignorant, they'd bail on the alt-right.
Right.
But the top of the alt-right, the management class, if you want to call it that, everyone in the alt-right that's popular, and I don't like dredging up people's histories, but it happens anyway, so I might as well use it when it happens. I'm sure you guys recall the incident with a purposeful wife with a purpose, and what came out about her background. Well, it turns out a few people clued me into things. I don't have time to catch every little thing that goes on, right. So people have to turn my attention to things, and I appreciate it when they do. and someone clued me into a whole bunch of things that she has said. She's vaguely a pro-white leftist. And for the record, I don't think she's a lesbian. I don't think she's even necessarily that bad, quote unquote, bad of a person. But the fact of the matter is that the only thing that's trad about her is her day-to-day existence. Her actual ideology is pro-Jew. She defends Milo. She did what she did in her history, and that's one thing, right? That's bad, but there's a whole other level of what attracted me to that incident was that she supposedly came clean with everybody and then went trad. Right. Hashtag trad, because she's not actually traditional anything. But that's the issue, is that in the recent past, she lied to everybody about her history while claiming to have come clean about it. Lying is like shoplifting, drugs, and a whole bunch of other things. When you catch somebody doing it, it's not the first time they've done it. It's just the first time you've caught them.
Right.
And the reality is, if somebody wants to be leadership cadre or spokesperson status or have some sort of celebrity image, they can't treat us this way. And when they do, it's kind of like, okay, well, the polite thing for them to do would be kind of just shut up, but they don't want to do that. And this is what I hate most about the alt-right, is that they're not really right. Even if, when you factor out what they say and may even be true, that they have some vaguely pro-white stance,
right?
Or they take some sort of pro-white, they'll make vague statements in what seems to be white people's best interests. Their actual ideology is pretty far left most of the time in terms of the things they tolerate. So it's not even an issue of, are they crypto-national socialists or are they weak-willed white nationalists? They're not even right of center.
It's frustrating to me because the alt-right is being accepted in what would normally be NS circles as being like this coppable kind of movement, and it's not. Their victories and their agendas are not ours. And I'm happy that the Trump administration and the Trump presidency has lifted this nationalistic kind of wave, this high watermark, if you will, that I really haven't seen since like the late 80s, early 90s, where people are more, a little bit more racially aware. We actually did a show a couple shows back where there was a girl straight out of high school. She's already dismissed the alt-right, and she's already glommed on to more NS circles. That's amazing. That's not happening nearly enough. But my point being that it's really frustrating because I feel like we get a lot of flack sometimes from people within our own circles because we don't support the alt-right and their little victories and their little circles. That's a big problem.
I'm sorry, Dad, I mean to cut you off, but we're getting a little more than just flack.
Right. Yeah, right.
We're having issues.
Yeah, we're having
issues. I have it on good authority, and I can't name sources for their protection, but some of the guys that blew the lid on TRS actually had their lives threatened behind closed doors for having done so. So I know what you're saying.
Right. God, that's ridiculous.
Nothing to that serious extent, but like no. I said, I mean, it's very frustrating because we've always stood by our moral stand base. We've always had this complete, I don't want to say completely black and white agenda, but there are things we cannot and will not accept as being national socialists. And to be honest, in this alt-right environment is ostracized us to a pretty large extent to where we've, and I'm going to talk about it. I wasn't going to talk about it. I'm going to. That we've had active agents going around reporting us to said like host servers that have racist content or were bigoted or whatever. So we're getting shut down every week or other week. Well, that's why we've been in the wind for so long, because we literally have had people, and I can't point names or prove anybody who did it, but I would suspect it's people who tune into the show, track to see what we're doing, following us to some extent, have pissed off to somehow a rare reason, to the point where they're turning us into said entities because I think that we're just a little bit too NS for them to handle. I don't mean to blow our own horn like that, but I don't really have another answer for it. I mean, Goy, you want to get on that?
Yeah. Well, no, from the very beginning, we've been doing this for almost about a year, Andy. From show one or two or three, flat out, I said right off the bat, I'm definitely not all right. I don't even consider myself white nationalist. I said flat out, I'm white separatist. I'm done with democracy. I'm done with this country. They can take the flag and burn it, use it to wipe their ass, do whatever they want to do with it. I'm done with everything. I don't want a part of it. I mean, I guess we had a pretty good run with that attitude, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely a listener or a friendly because, I mean, we're directly targeted. No one else really associated or close to us were affected either. So it's sickening. I mean, it doesn't really bother me too much, but I mean, this is what you got to deal with. And
well, that's actually the tell. It is sickening, but exactly. That's the tell. when someone takes a stand like you have, or like the Northwest Front, or like a few others, very, very few others that still have some sort of moral backbone, people who claim to be pro-white will all of a sudden say, no, you're a false flag operation, or no, you don't know what you're talking about, you're fake, and so on and so forth. And it's kind of like, well, that's the tell, isn't it? When someone says something that would genuinely help white people, or advocates for something that would actually stop white genocide, and everybody else goes, no, we're not doing that, that really tells you what they are.
Yep, exactly.
Yep, and that was a big problem. And like I said, every time we turn around, we're getting shut down just out of the blue. So like I said, when we're in the wind, but we're just going to do everything independently now. We're doing everything by ourselves, and that's just how we're going to have to roll.
Well, that's the right thing to do. That's always the right thing to do. Being that independent is what made my homecoming possible. I came at this from a very odd angle where I had all sorts of, not what I'd call a serious political upbringing, but my parents were always super involved in the Republican Party wherever we were. And so I paid attention enough to know during Bush's second election, when I was in college, early in college in 2004, that we had a serious problem on our hands. And at the time, I was still vaguely some sort of Zionist Christian. And I say that to critique the Zionism, not the Christianity. Everybody calm down, right? You know, the one thing that's not acceptable about that is a political philosophy masquerading as religion. Okay, all don't right. do that. At least be honest about what you are.
Yep.
Because people need to make the best decisions they can for themselves and then their families and then their race. And they can't do that if you're being dishonest, which is the one thing I most hate is dishonesty. Which again goes back to the alt-right masquerading as some sort of genuinely pro-white entity. But I had a whole bunch of political upbringing, and I knew we had a problem with George W. Bush, and I had no clue at the time. But the Bush family and other Republican presidents had been responsible for so many wrong things happening. But they still somehow managed to play the religion card when it was time to vote for them, and all the churches kind of just fell in line. And I'll get into that more. I would have talked more about just what was wrong with the election of Trump, but things keep coming up, right? I'm almost done with my Theorycraft Part 2 script, and then I've got something about DNA testing to do, and then I really need to get on the Trump thing because we've got to learn these lessons. I learned these lessons almost half my life ago, right? And other people need to start learning because nobody can develop their discernment to make decisions on their own for their own good if they don't get the truth. Because that's the first thing you have to make good decisions. And I kind of figured out very late in college and early in my post-college life, I don't like Jews very much. Couldn't tell you why at the time, but I didn't like them. Then Obama gets elected and we have this Obamacare stuff. And I don't come from what you would typically call a working class background, but certainly wasn't blue collar or anything. But don't take that to mean a whole lot, because when 2008 happened, I ended up at a big box retail store and had to deal with a lot of busted fertilizer bags one day. So I literally shoveled shit just like everybody else, right? I'm not any better than anybody, and that just proves it, because there you go. But college was paid for by my family. Now, because it was paid for, I didn't get to screw around, right? I actually had to study, get out of there in 4 years. I had a very part-time job, but it was still a part-time job when I was in college. Well, coming out of that, even going into 2009, 2010, I'd become pretty racially aware through just a number of factors. And a lot of it was watching the 2007, 2008 housing crisis hit. And you may, or, you know, I don't know who's listening to this, but the fact of the matter is you may have some much younger people that don't know how that happened. A major, major part of that was this country decided to rip its economy apart to give niggers houses that they couldn't pay for. That's basically what caused that. There's a whole bunch of wrapping in terms of legislation around that, but what it came down to was banks were told they were racist unless they made all these bad loans.
Right.
So once again, the Jew twisted the lesser Jew's arm to completely ruin an entire economy. That's happened before, as it turns out. But that was kind of just made me really super racial, because I was kind of forced to come to the conclusion that, okay, not everybody's the same. You can't make other people behave. You can't make people productive. So on and so forth. Well, and then Obamacare gets passed, and that was just so blatantly an effort at redistributing wealth that I had kind of decided, fuck America, I'm done. You know, I want to go somewhere where it's mostly white and just live out my life. So I was actually looking at New Zealand. Well, I was wrong about that. And my motivation in all this was that I wasn't carrying debt. I studied a particular field. I work in that field. It pays a lot of money. That's why I studied it. And what cracks me up about that is I went to an in-state college. The education wasn't nearly as expensive as you hear about. You hear about people that got these useless degrees and racked up six figures of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, even when you factor in living expenses, my education didn't cost more than $50,000 over 4 years. I mean, come on. it's ridiculous for people to think they need to go that far into debt to get something useful. But anyway, you know, I've gone off on a tangent here, but point being, I was actually productive. I actually understood, because the first couple of years outside of college, I actually worked not as an employee, but as a 1099 contractor, right? So I had to do all of this tax math all the time, and I knew how much money I was losing to redistributive efforts. And because I wasn't anyone's employee, I couldn't get unemployment when the economy tanked. So it's kind of like, not only that's frustrating, because when you're 1099, you don't just pay your half of certain federal taxes, you pay the employer's half as well, because I'm self-employed in that situation. So I actually paid all sorts of taxes that most people don't even know exist, and I still couldn't get unemployment, right? And so that's just reality for you, right? So I went to work at a big box retail store until something better came along. But I just kind of had enough of it, because I knew that after Obamacare passed, we were just going to have one problem after another with it. And of course we did. So this is early 2010, right? I'm more or less a white nationalist, and I had accidentally found out the Holocaust was a hoax. That was just by pure accident, and I found that out some years before. So I really don't like Jews, and I really don't like people that aren't white, and I really don't like anything about America anymore. So I had my eyes set on New Zealand, and I could have gotten in there pretty easily just because of my skills, right? I was at the top of their import list. But nope, because the very first thing I noticed was all of their, they had a white prime minister, whatever it was at the time. Mm-hmm. They may still, but I noticed all of the appointed officials were niggers.
Right. They have like some aborigine type people.
Oh, God. You know, this is not going to happen. That and the economy is still completely jacked up.
Yeah, right? it's all fucked up over there.
You could get a top paying job and not be able to rent a room in most of the cities. And it's kind of like, how do you even live? But anyway, so that wasn't going to happen. So I had more or less gone pretty racial, and I had all of these advanced political lessons under my belt because of my family's involvement in the Republican Party wherever we lived. And then I found the Northwest Front. And at first, I didn't think much of it, because who would believe that if you don't know certain bits of history about how many countries came to be, you would look at what the Northwest Front proposes and say, that'll never work. You can't actually pull that off. And it turns out you can. I was wrong. And I was just humble enough to admit that I don't know. So I got a hold of the Northwest Front's recommended reading list and read everything on guerrilla warfare and separating colonial territories from occupying powers. And it dawned on me that, no, this is exactly right. This is what we have to do. So I kind of threw everything into it. It doesn't matter what else anybody says, I have to go do this. That's what I meant about the independence is what matters. You kind of have to do that on your own, because that's the only way you're going to make it happen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say real quick, Andy, and to answer your question, Sir Lanzerboy, from the beginning when we started, you mentioned how Harold's kind of a lot more active. He's kind of attacking more on the alt-right, and he's definitely voicing a lot more concern. Well, I think it's kind of like deja vu on a nightmarish scale for him, because he's seeing what he's gone through his 40 years or 45 years of experience, and now you're seeing another uptick in racialism, and he's seeing this, and he's probably like, oh my God, it's happening all over again. And just like what Andy just said, I mean, how many of these kids actually think we could successfully revolt and basically balkanize the Pacific Northwest away from
America? Well, not even that. How many of them even know that that concept exists? Even if they disagree with it, how many of them have even heard the idea? So I do what I can to try and tweet around alt-right circles and other things like that, but I don't have all day to mess around with these things. The point about independence is doubly important, because when I went full white nationalist and actually decided, okay, I'm going to do this Northwest thing, my first thought was, wait a minute, haven't there been white nationalists for decades? What the hell else went on? And I started to investigate that. I understand somebody not wanting to call themselves white nationalists, because with the exception of people like David Lane and the Order and maybe a handful of other people that have actually kept their morals and standards intact, everybody else is a complete and total waste of rations at best. You know, it only goes downhill from there. There's nothing redeeming about, again, the leadership cadre of decades of white nationalism. There's nothing redeeming there. I completely understand someone wanting to distance themselves from that, because it's, like you say, it's happening all over again.
The leadership ends up getting killed, or they get up traded out, or they end up in prison. How Harold's been able to basically not have that happen to him, thankfully, is amazing, because all the Vanguard have either been turned or dead or serving time.
Well, there's a very good reason that he hasn't had that happen to him. He could have on a number of occasions, but the reality is, again, the strict moral standards are such that he was never associated with someone in such a way that would compromise him.
Yeah, I've actually reached out to him on several occasions about people who have I wanted to reach out to, and I'd be like, yeah, I'm not going to drop any names, but I would say, hey, I was reached out by so-and-so. You know, I'm actually going to him for advice. That's how much I trust him. He's probably the only Vanguard person left that A, is left, B, that I feel comfortable enough to approach, and C, that I take his word verbatim and as gospel to a certain point.
Well, and this is the other thing about independence, you know, just the person of Harold. I found all this crap about Harold Covington on the internet, and none of it's true, and I know that personally because I see him on a regular basis. I actually know him fairly well, but even when I didn't know for sure what the deal was, I was acting on what I knew to be right, and that was the Butler Plan as recognized by the Northwest Imperative. And I knew that even if Harold Covington is the son of Satan, I still have to go do this because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And why can't other people draw that conclusion on their own? You know, it's very suspicious to me when somebody goes around and around and around with me on Twitter when I actually try and figure out, you know, what is their problem with chucking it all in with America and doing their own Northwest thing? What's the big deal about that? And turns out, again, this is why I hate dishonesty, because it turns out it's not an honest conversation, because I will actually just point blank ask. And the most recent response I got back was, I don't want to sign up for the Harold Covington Deluxe Plan, thank you. It's kind of like, what? So you have a problem with Harold. Your nobody's political opposition ends up having any substance other than they hate Harold Covington. And it just baffles me because, again, I came in new. Nobody else is doing squat. Nobody else has anything to offer. And it's like Harold said in his podcast, you know, Radio Free Northwest dated yesterday. Everybody knows he's right. Everybody knows the Northwest Imperative is the only thing our race is going to have on this continent. It's all just personal issues. It's all people's personal problems or their own moral failings.
It's all ego. It's all, a lot of it's ego. It's ridiculous bullshit ego.
And it's not even political ego.
No.
A lot of the times it's just a basic issue of, this goes back to, why is it people like us have so much trouble making inroads with the alt-right? Well, it's just a bunch of memers. You know, we had somebody up here not too long ago on their scouting trip, and we all had an interesting conversation. And the conclusion that came out of that conversation with the scouter, myself, Harold, and someone else who happened to be there was that the alt-right offers people who want it unearned validation.
Right.
And that's its major problem, is that people can feel like they're doing the right thing by merely memeing. And
that's the American way.
Well, it really is.
And playing in democratic circles, which they still haven't learned. They still haven't learned.
Well, it's not even that. It's not even that they're playing in democratic. Well, they are doing that. But this is the issue, is that people are involved in the alt-right so that they can feel like they've been validated for their own personal. It's not even a pro-white stance. It's just a dislike of everything else that's going on.
Right, yeah.
They don't even have any sort of affirmative identity politics. They just don't like what's happening to Europe, which I completely get. But disliking what's happening to Europe doesn't inherently make you pro-white. And that's why the alt-right is so utterly dangerous, is that one thing is being substituted for the other.
And probably one of the most important aspects of it, too, is that there's not very much risk outside of someone finding out your real name or something like that.
Right, being doxxed and whatnot.
There's no real risk to it.
That's true.
Well, the risk thing is always interesting. I mean, that can be really bad news, right? If you're not in a good position to deal with being doxxed. And I completely understand that. But, you know, I'm sorry to hear that the skins out in California are having so much legal trouble. And I won't comment much on that because they're having, as near as I can tell, they're actual genuine white nationalists that got themselves in a bad spot. And so I don't want to criticize them specifically, so I'll criticize somebody that's out in the South that did something real dumb, and they're not even white nationalists. I wish I could remember the name of this family that did this. I don't even think they're a family, actually. They may just be shacking up. Anyway, well, and look, that's not so much a judgment thing. It's just that the reality is there are rules you got to follow. And if you don't follow the rules, you kind of put yourself in a position of needing help. But the help is for people that followed the rules. You know what I mean? It's kind of those situations don't work out well. And I don't encourage people to do that. Point being, you know, it's as near as I can tell, a white man and a white woman. And this was a major thing. This got tweeted out all over every alt-right media account as, you know, look what's happening to these people. Sign this petition to reverse the court's decision or whatever. But they were doing some sort of sale of Confederate memorabilia, and they were driving around, I think it was somewhere in Florida, in their pickup truck with Confederate flags out and everything. And they drove through the wrong part of town, wherever they were. They end up in a shouting match with some niggers that lived on that street. Of course, the whole street's niggers when you're in the wrong part of town. There was an altercation. I don't recall, none of the stories I read on this had anything about whether or not it was a violent altercation. So I suspect that nothing other than words was exchanged, right? Because it's, as near as I can tell, white people having a disagreement with niggers. if the white people had actually done anything, that would have been mentioned just because it'd be so important, right? Mm-hmm. But they, right. I don't think they did. But they, bear in mind, they didn't need to do any of this, right? They could have just drove on. And they know that there's a controversy with Confederate memorabilia, which is why they were selling it. So they can't claim ignorance here. And what ended up happening is they got something like 15 years in jail each for terroristic threats.
Right.
Or something similar to that.
I remember the story, yep.
It completely crushes their family, right? They're probably never going to see their kids again.
They're probably never again, right. Mm-hmm.
I hate watching this happen because it's a couple of idiots that were just completely... Them being stupid isn't a justification for what happened, right? Because as near as I can tell, they did nothing criminal, which is do they deserve to be in jail? No. Did they do something incredibly stupid and give somebody a reason to come after them? Yes, they did.
Yeah. Andy, I know exactly where you're going with that. And I've always said I've never been a big fan of protesting or flag waving.
The NF doesn't do it. The Northwest Front outright refuses to participate in this, and we land in hot water for it on a regular basis. But and that's because, not going to change.
No, and because you don't do it, you're not running into problems, say, like, you know, the Golden State skinheads have. They did not do anything wrong. It was completely 100% self-defense, but protesting, and like I said in that show, those guys are, everything they do is above board. They're honest too, et cetera, et cetera. But government, the FBI, whoever it is going to find a way, turn around and stick the Constitution right up their ass.
Every
and
now, fucking time.
And now they're dealing with all this just because they went to some state house or government building to protest.
Yep.
And it wasn't necessarily their fault, but now they're being harassed to a point where they're getting arrested, having to spend tens of thousands on lawyers, and all for bullshit, nothing.
And what's really unfortunate about this is, even if it weren't self-defense in the traditional term, the people they were fighting went there with the intention of attacking them.
Exactly.
They went there with the intention of killing them.
Right.
Of course. So it's not as if any sane self-defense law is, if you have a reasonable suspicion that you're about to be hurt, you can preemptively do something about it. It doesn't need, you know, self-defense actually includes a lot more than people think it does, even in the USSR. And that's just the reality, is that they went there for peaceful protests and they were aware that someone else was going to go there to attack them. And it's kind of like, really? Because that right there, I don't have a wife or children, so I can be a little bit more foolish in the things I do, except that it would impact the Northwest Front negatively were something to happen to me, so I don't do it. Right. But the fact of the matter is, in a sane society, the people that issue the threats would just get beat for the threat, because you don't do that. No rational society would tolerate identifiable individuals making any sort of threat like that.
Well, you're talking about a homogenous type society that has its people and interests. That's not the question here at all.
But I just want to point out, I don't want to, people who are having genuine trouble for just showing up at a protest, I don't really want to criticize them. And I will say this, even if it weren't really self-defense, they didn't do anything morally wrong.
Right.
Ideologically, I'm right there with them because, I mean, hey, if somebody's going to identify as anything related to National Socialism, they know what a stormtrooper is.
Right. I mean, the base scenario was is that they were doing support for, I think, the Trad Worker Party, and the numbers were 300 on 17. GSS and Trad had actually had all the permits and all the legal bullshit to protest or whatever, have their rally. The cops had kind of screwed them where they actually corralled GSS, 17 guys, in the midst of 300. And yeah, some Antifa pieces of shit walked out with some stab wounds. And luckily, they didn't get killed.
So we all know what Greensboro is, right? We do not need a Greensboro repeat because white nationalists not win those scenarios.
Never.
By design. And I don't recall any of the Greensboro Five ever actually ending up with convictions. I could be wrong about that. I'm not a white nationalist historian by trade, but they went through multiple trials in various jurisdictions for various things. You know, one was the actual assault, which wasn't, I mean, again, it was self-defense. For those of you listening that don't know, a bunch of idiot commies brought guns to a gunfight.
Right.
And they lost the gunfight.
Yes, they did.
And I would say it's tragic, except that it's not tragic when commies die.
But anyway. I don't think, I'm about to correct that.
Like, how is dead commies a tragedy, right? That's a plus for the world.
That's why I told Michael as well. They got what they got. They came and got what they wanted. I'm not
upset when Antifa walks away with stab wounds because they're Antifa.
Yeah, lucky they didn't lose their life. I mean, these guys.
They are fortunate because, again, if you get stabbed the right place or you can't get help, you will bleed out from a stab wound.
Well, even more so, the difference between having a boot party like when I was a kid just for shits and grins, and then being 17 versus 300 where you're fighting for survival, it's a different ballgame. I mean, they're lucky they didn't lose their life.
I mean, especially if the skins in question understood. And again, I'm not, you know, don't take me as some sort of great military strategist because I'm not. But if they knew what they were doing enough to form a phalanx, they could have really fucked some Antifa up.
Yeah, it could have been
basic infantry tactics. They could have killed a lot of Antifa.
Yeah, it could have been bad. And you know, instead of being just thankful for that, nope. A government's got to go and trump up charges, follow them around, create cases on them, because that's the easy zoggy answer is, oh, well, we know we got to stomp this white nationalism out. And that's the difference between whether you agree with it or not, with a flag wave or not, between somebody who is heart and soul white nationalist versus somebody who's playing in Democratic bullshit background, Jew backgrounds like the alt-right. And that has always been our problem with alt-right. We've never, ever swayed from that.
And I note that I'm not familiar in any great detail with the incident. I just know of it because obviously it's going to make the rounds in the movement, but they were supporting, who was it, the Trad Workers Party?
I believe so, yeah.
Even if the NF were to do something like this, which again, we're not going to for obvious reason, because we don't get anything from that, right? What does the movement always come back to this question? What do we get for doing this that we don't have now? And decades of white nationalist history prove that demonstrations don't do anything for PR. We have decades and decades of proof that all of the theory crafters among us are wrong about the PR from street activity. And the one strategy that will actually save the white race, the Northwest Imperative, it does not benefit from street action. Therefore, we never need to do street action. But even if we did need to, you never go in support of somebody that doesn't have your same goals. Because like you said, this is the difference between people who are playing with politics and someone who's actually a pro-white revolutionary, right? The reality is you do not, and this is again the reason it's completely right that you're not interested in the alt-right. The Northwest Front has never been part of the alt-right, never will be. But why is it necessary for some sort of, we have this unite the right horseshit nonsense that's about to happen. And, you know, 8 days after we're recording this,
right,
half the people on there aren't even right, and the other half are clowns.
Right. Or they're Zog sellouts
or whatever. And there's not going to be any unity there, because the only thing you have to say to be unified with that bunch is, we're vaguely pro-white. Not in any serious way. It's just like, we dislike what's going on all over the world. Well, whoop-dee-doo.
Well, you know, well,
the average American has the same opinion. What is the difference between an alt-righter and the average idiot American? It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot there.
Well, a lot of it's age and maturity. I mean, you got a lot of these kids in the alt-right that are super cool to be fascies, I say all the time on the show. And they do. They think it's super rad to be. We're like the cool counterculture.
Oh, but, I got to tell you something about this.
But unlike us, they're millennial types. So even though they're cool with piercings and tattoos, they're not really cool about commitments. And becoming NS and becoming a white nationalist in a true sense is a very pro-family commitment. Having children, 14 words, the whole nine. I'm not going to get into that. It's a completely different show. But what I'm saying is, it's a commitment. And this generation of kids, very few of them, not all of them, I've met a handful of them that have proved me wrong on this. They're not willing to commit. So right now, it's a super hardcore cool to be super fashy in some circles.
Well, and what pisses me off about that so much about the alt-right is that I, 2 or 3 days ago, ended up in a position where it seemed like the iron was hot with somebody I was talking to, so I decided to strike. You know, it actually seemed like it was the right thing to do, and it was. It just didn't go the way I wanted it to. And what happened is they said, no, you're just like the alt-right. You're just saying this to be edgy. You don't actually think any of this white stuff.
Right.
In other words, the general public's reaction when they actually hear something pro-white and pro-white revolution, when they actually hear genuine national socialist mentality, they think, oh, you're just being edgy. That's what the alt-right has done to white nationalism, is they've turned white nationalism in the public's mind into a whole bunch of fashy edgelords.
Right.
Because that's what they are.
Well, that's what
pisses me off so much, because there's no way that anything pro-white is going to be taken seriously after the alt-right.
Well, you mentioned earlier how the Northwest Front doesn't do protests and flag waving and a lot of stuff that Goy Hammer has mentioned that he doesn't approve of as well. And I'm fine with it. I did that, a lot of that back in the day when I was a kid, and it was fun to a certain extent. Well, I was a kid, there wasn't the internet. When I was active, I was out of middle school. So we were handing out handmade pamphlets and boot kicking people in parks and shit in Dallas. I mean, we didn't have internet. There was no computer. There was no network. And since the Northwest Front has been pretty much born for the majority of its life anyways, out of like this off the Butler plan, but more importantly in the internet realm, How does White Nationalism and the Northwest Front Initiative deal with being almost, to some extent, like an internet entity? Because you're dealing with all these millennials and these alt-right people and all these people who make memes and Murdoch, YouTube, White Nationalism videos. We're in a very digital realm, and the Northwest Front has actually kind of lives in that realm. I think a lot of your propaganda, but a lot of your information and a lot of who the Northwest Front is found online, you know, resources. And I was just kind of curious on how you see that for the future, and how do you battle that against like the alt-right initiative as being online? Because we have a lot of problems with it personally, as far as being online, not being active, not being in real life. And I know the end game of the Northwest Front is to actually get boots on the ground. And I'm always sidebarring Harold Trust, like in desperate like messages, which I think he probably just laughs off because me being just paranoid. Like, trust me, my brother, people are coming. We're working on it.
We know people are coming. That's even just an extrapolation from my own experience. When somebody is genuine about the 14 words and realizes that we're running up against the clock here, where we don't have another 5-6 decades to play around, when someone ingests all this and actually contemplates it and comes to the conclusion that they're going to be serious white nationalists, they do their own migration. That's what happened with my experience, right? It didn't matter what other people were doing. I needed to do the right thing. So the way we're going to get around this is if we can find people, if and when we find people who say, forget what everybody else is doing, I'm going to do the right thing. And that's where we're going to get the 1,000 alphas from, the 1,000 class A's that are going to be capable of leading themselves, because that's kind of the purpose in migration. It's true, you know, in a practical realm, we need people to come here because converting the locals is harder than you think. And it's not as if we don't have plans to do things like that later, because we have to have a propaganda wing. But the reality is we need to know who's in it for the long haul and who's willing to kind of drop everything else they've got going on, because that's the first step that it's going to take to actually make a new nation happen. And as far as how we're going to get around the noise on the internet, and I say noise because Harold will periodically tweet out that I know what needs to happen.
Right.
I want to tell you all what needs to happen. I'd like to share with you what we're up to, but I need you to listen to me over all the noise. And the fact of the matter is, I'm a millennial myself. I'm turned 31 not too long ago. But the fact of the matter is, at some point, I had to make a choice to do the right thing. And it didn't involve external validation. It didn't involve memes. It didn't involve all of the things that millennial idiots do on the internet right now. Even our, if you want to think of them as our millennial idiots, even the things they do. I'm not going to say that stuff is wrong, because a meme in the original meaning of the word actually is a minimum information communication mechanism. I don't quite remember exactly how it's defined. I believe it was, oddly enough, Noam Chomsky that came up with the term meme, but he's a washed up hippie for those that don't know. But the fact of the matter is that memeing in and of itself isn't wrong. It's just that the memes the alt-right throw around are that other people are bad, not that we're good, right? It's very easy for just about any Republican to make fun of any Democrat anytime they want to, right? Even when I was a Republican teenager, I could have made fun of any Democrat before breakfast. I could hop out of bed and disprove everything about the Democrat Party, because it's that trivial when you're that far above the Democrat Party. I went through a very short constitutionalist phase in college after I found out that, hey, everything the Republicans do, especially with all of the shit about faggots that's gone on in the last several years, all of the judges that okayed those things were Republican appointees, particularly Reagan appointees. I believe his name was Walker Vaughn, or Vaughn Walker, whatever his name was, the judge out in California that overturned their statewide marriage amendment was a faggot, an open faggot. And he was a Reagan appointee, if I remember correctly. So it was very easy for me, once I went to the next level, other than Republican, to make fun of any Republican, right? That's not hard, because Republicans do a whole lot of screwed up stuff, if you understand. And I actually went a step further. I was still quasi-Zionist in my outlook, but even the issue of, well, hey, there are a whole bunch of, according to Christianity, these things are right and these things are wrong. And believe it or not, there are actually a whole lot of moral flaws in the Constitution. The House of Representatives was the only Democratic part of the Constitution originally. Well, that expanded to the Senate, and now it won't surprise me. Within my lifetime, everything about the federal government is popular election, because that's democracy for you. Because we're on this program and we can be honest with our metaphors, democracy is like diarrhea in a jacuzzi. You can say that, hey, you can only have diarrhea in that corner of the jacuzzi, right. But you know what? It's going to go everywhere. That shit's going to spread. And that is a horrible image. but it's appropriate because I want people to understand what democracy is.
Yeah, so that's a good one.
It's just left-wing politics.
So during your travels and you finding your way to the Northwest Front, where have you landed yourself politically? Do you? Because I've asked this before on Twitter, and I think the actual conversation we started getting into, going back and forth, and obviously I'm a little bit more blunt than most people with my direction, was where the Northwest Front sat with National Socialism, and then your reply was, it wasn't your reply to me, it was somebody who had an issue with National Socialism, and I think you're trying to be nice and say, listen, Northwest Front obviously does have some basis in constitutional thoughts about national, they are based in National Socialism, but at the same time, we recognize other white nationalist fortitudes, blah, 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 whatever.
Well, National Socialism is an interesting subject, just as a philosophy, as it pertains to how you live that out politically. And one of the things I've teased in the recent past is that I'm eventually going to have to give a talk on, even when I was going vaguely white nationalist, I wasn't cool with National Socialism because it's socialism, right? Well, it turns out the Jew has just poisoned that word. Exactly. And I'll give you a bit of a preview on this. I myself have never declared for National Socialism, but I may be one. And I say that because I took that political axis test just to see where I would land. Right. And I answered the questions with my genuine beliefs. And I'll say this much. Shortly after I went full on white nationalist and had committed to Northwest migration, which I did about a year after committing, I read Mein Kampf. And I read it and I said, well, hell, there's nothing wrong with this. There's not a thing in the world wrong with anything in that book, right? So when I took this, you've seen that two-dimensional political access test, how authoritarian are you and how conservative or liberal you are morally, things like that. I landed, without trying to, I landed right smack dab on top of Adolf Hitler. So I may be National Socialist.
I know my own kind, Mr. Donner, and trust me, you're almost the most NS person that I talk to on Twitter. So
you might as well
just get there and just dwell in it and just accept it. And
here's the thing is, even though I haven't declared for National Socialism, I may be one of the better National Socialists out there. I'm going to give you a preview of the talk. We've had an awful lot of people that have been confused about whether or not National Socialism is left or right wing, or whether or not it's really just a different type of communism, or so on and so forth. And even people that have come home and brought their businesses home, they're out in Idaho, Montana, and they're all quality people, from what I can tell on the internet. They say, yeah, I'm honestly not sure about the NF politically, but you're doing the only thing that is going to help white people, so that's why I'm involved. Yeah. And to those people, I say, good on you, because you trusted your instincts. But I eventually need to deal with this because there's too much anti-NS sentiment in the movement, and there should be none. Not because I want to compel everyone to be National Socialists. That's the Northwest Front's position, is that the Northwest Front does not have a sectarian stance in terms of what particular white nationalist philosophy we adopt. And I didn't either, because some people latch on to this religion or this politics or this lack of this religion or so on and so forth when they flip to some sort of pro-white stance. What I latched on to was, I have to go do this thing. So I kind of feel like I'm pretty neutral in that. But so here's the talk, the preview of the talk I will eventually deliver on Radio Free Northwest about National Socialism. The reason I'm polite with people is I understand what it takes to go from a very, very ideological Zionist Republican like I was to National Socialism, which I probably am, let's be honest, at this point. You know, that's where I landed, like you say. Let's see to it that we eliminate Jewish poisoning of words, because words matter, right? Racism, what does that mean? Well, I notice race, I see that it's a thing, and I accept that there are differences. That's the difference between left and right wing. In fact, you know how some people call the alt-right or even white nationalists right-wing social justice warriors? There's some wisdom in that. And the wisdom is, what you do with information makes you right or left. I'm not at all libertarian, and you'll find out why when I give the talk on National Socialism, but the trick in realizing all this is, what is racism, right? I admit that race is different. Social justice warriors are just as racist as I am. The difference is, I apply that information completely differently. The right wing, vaguely, you know, in general, is going to say differences are part of the physical universe. We cannot pretend they don't exist. So instead, we're going to acknowledge them and live our lives in accordance with those differences. And the left wing says differences shouldn't exist. So we're going to do everything we can to make everybody the same. And believe it or not, Marx himself, Karl Marx, said an awful lot of good things about capitalism. He was 90% right when he's listing all of its problems. But what he did with his observations is what makes him a monster. His solution is what makes him evil. That, and he's a Jew, but outwardly, his expression of his observations. Right. So here's the thing. Racism. Does race exist? Yes. Can we pretend it doesn't exist? No. So I'm going to live my life in accordance with those differences. I'm a racist. I believe in race, and I act on my beliefs. On the other hand, a social justice warrior who is just as racist, because we basically agree on about 90% of the facts, if you think about it. But what they're doing is what makes them left-wing. They're saying, no, I have a bias towards overriding physical reality, and they will, with their dying breath, fight reality. They will try to subvert reality and change it with their words. That's left wing. So sexism, okay? What is a sexist? Well, I am, because I see that men and women are very different emotionally, spiritually, whatever you take that to mean, biologically, anatomically. The scientific term for this is humanity is a sexually dimorphic species. In other words, men and women are not stand-ins for one another as individuals. So I'm a sexist because I see that men and women are different, and I act in accordance with those differences out of respect for those differences. Well, so what is a socialist? Now, again, no Jewish word poison. Look at the words for what they are. Are people or are they not socialized? And more importantly, let's eliminate libertarianism from the conversation right now. Let's pretend nobody is economically dependent on anybody else. Okay? Nobody's bad choices can economically impact anyone else in this discussion. Do people still impact other people they're around? Well, absolutely. Look at the plague of single mothers, right? The bad choices that women make about what they will and won't do. You know, man 101, right? You guys will understand this. Man 101 is you have to be productive because you're going to have to support a family. The first thing every man must do is be productive. You have no choice. And when civilization back in Europe was on the upswing very heavily, it wasn't even socially acceptable for you to approach a woman unless you could support yourself. Why? Because you have to support her. And Benjamin Franklin said, what will support a wife will support two children, right? One of the best things you can do for a society is make sure that young men can support themselves if they're willing to work, because everything else fixes itself from there. But, you know, so libertarianism is out of the conversation, and this is a basic, you know, this is important for men. Men have to act this way. Well, woman 101, don't let men talk you into sex. How many stupid women have had bad things happen to them because they didn't say no when they should have? And to the ladies listening, you have the right to say no. You should always use it. Because women make so many important decisions about what the next generation is going to be like, what's socially acceptable, and women actually have a ton of say over what happens to them based on who they're around, right? Women should make good choices for themselves and for their future children. And I say that as somebody whose mother volunteered a whole lot at a crisis pregnancy center that our church supported when I was growing up, oddly enough, in Texas. I'm a native Texan.
Yeah, me so too.
I heard the boot stomping. I heard the boot party in Dallas. And like, yeah. Anyway. But anyway, so this is important, right? This was one of my early exposures as a child to bad moral decisions is that, hey, you can't make these decisions because it affects a whole lot of people around you, right? Being a single mother is terrible for the kids. Being a single mother means you need help from other people, right? It's easier in the long run for women to decide they're going to do the right thing to get a husband who can support them, who has demonstrated he's willing to support them, so that their children have a very good chance of having a completely stable childhood, right? When you do drugs, you become a problem for everybody around you, even if they don't have to pay any money, because we're living, you know, again, we're living in this libertarian paradise, right? For the purposes of the conversation. Human beings are socialized. The things that we do affect everybody around us. And it's like a pond where you have ripples from one stone throw all over a lake, right? Everybody that comes into contact with a damaged individual, especially when that damage was avoidable by their choices or someone else's, is affected by that damage. And this is part of why morality and family and so many other things are important, is that it's not I committed when I was a kid to not damaging other people in the way that I saw these bad decisions doing. I require, as a National Socialist, there I guess I said it, I require that other people do the same. You know what I mean?
Right.
I have a certain level of requirements for myself, and I expect other people to adhere to those same requirements for them so that neither one of us becomes a burden. And so this is socialism, is just the acknowledgement that human beings are socialized. Now, what we do with this makes us left or right wing. A left wing socialist would say, well, everybody's socialized, so we need to spread around all the money, all the time, all the resources. If somebody has more than somebody else, then they're affecting everybody else negatively, so let's make it that way. Whereas Adolf Hitler was quite plain, we must preserve private property. And why is that? Because private property is the cornerstone of the free market. Note that I didn't say capitalism. Now, that's a whole other show. That's a whole other issue. Capitalism is a Jew poison. poison word. Capitalism is not the free market. So this should be a big hint to everybody. I can take socialism, I can take this admission and set up a society and a philosophy and a way of being that requires people to behave the best they can, because not doing so will hurt everyone around them.
I totally agree with all that. That was a lot to absorb. I'm probably going to have to re-listen to almost all that. You're pretty well versed.
What's hard about this is undoing vocabulary, because socialism is such a dirty word, except that if you just look at what the word means and you apply the acknowledgement of socialism correctly, you end up a national socialist. In other words,
that's what I was getting at, too, is the word national socialism has been so tainted by the Jew for obvious reasons, because it did work. I mean, Germany was, as far as a white ethnostate in any kind of recorded history, I can't think of no other example.
That was what blew my mind when I started learning about National Socialism, was the economic miracle just overnight.
Well, and the fact that everything you were taught was absolute bullshit, and then everything you were describing after that to get you to that point is what's referred as being in tune with National Socialism is with nature's laws. The way we view women.
That's precisely respect nature's laws.
So all that's in tune with each other. So I just literally listen to you literally talk yourself into an NS corner and then admit to NS.
It's very hard for me to say I'm not National Socialist, because what I just described is the moral and ideological foundation that made Germany what it was.
Exactly. Hey, you know what, Sir Lanzerboy? That was very similar to what I believe David Lane wrote about socialism also.
Exactly.
Whole time he was going through that, I kept thinking, oh, shit, I just read this.
And for I have yet to read that David Lane book you guys have been spreading around. And I'm actually, it's gone on my reading list now, because just your shows made me curious.
Oh, yeah, you'll love it.
Check that out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'll get a lot up your alley, buddy.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, David Lane, I think, goes into socialism and on how the Nordic tribes had to form a socialized or social system like that to survive. We needed to be social.
Well, Harold Covington told someone on Twitter at one point that National Socialism is just the formalized way Aryan peoples have been living for millennia.
Right, that's brilliant.
And I also agree with that.
That's couldn't have been summed up any better. It's basically the natural law way of whites governing themselves.
Yeah, when white people are not interfered with, the societies they create look an awful lot like National Socialist Germany.
Exactly.
Damn, that was right on.
Woo!
There's also the issue of, you know, why the National Socialism, right? Because with the basis of socialism, I'm curious if I could screw a lefty out of their leftism with this argument, but nationalism, well, what are nations? Well, groups of people. Okay, so is it right for me or wrong for me to create half-breed children? The people you're around affect you, right? When races are in proximity, mixing occurs. Is it right or wrong based on that? You know, the results of mixing are lessened people.
It depends on what group you're talking about.
Well, it depends on what group you're talking about.
It's for white. It's for whites. They're all for it.
I mean, again, you could take, let's take different nations if you want to be somewhat particular with our terms. I want to breed a white Englishman with a white German. Well, I've got some news for you. Englishmen are really just German trying to be French, right? So you're going to get a German out of this. Yeah, I just went there. That's horrible. Anyway, I love that joke because it's so true. Just historic.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway, if we take some niggers out of the South and some white people out of the South and put them next together, you're going to get a whole bunch of high yellow nigglets. And that's no good. It's wrong to do that, because all you're doing is polluting the white gene pool. So the reality is that a national socialism is also the acknowledgement that nations of people exist, and it's wrong to put them in proximity with one another, because you'll end up polluting both bloodlines. So national socialism. It's a great thing. You know, it's hard to argue with, because just even the analysis of basic meanings of words kind of force someone to that position, as you've pointed out.
And I've often been in, I wouldn't say arguments, but conversations with red pill. I hate the whole pill analogy, but the people
color pill talk is for trans.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And so they end up to have these conversations, and they end up literally like pulling themselves into NS corners. And I'm like, listen, you literally just talked yourself using nature's laws in your own brain to basically back yourself into this NS corner. The taboos, like the labels that were given, the words that we're labeled with, it's all this shit that we have to reject before you can actually start seeing the truth. And it's been decades and decades and decades of this, generations and generations of this brainwashing and self-hatred and self-pity. And I always say to Goy, man, we're sick people, man. We're sick people. And we're exploited that way. We're shown that way. You look at any kind of TV or television or anything like major media, we're buffoons, we're idiots, we're pathetic, we're weak. And it's this whole programming thing. But I've been very many conversations where people will back themselves in these corners. And if you just get back to this whole going back to nature's laws, going back to your gut, going back to your basic feeling, which I actually channel into my own children, like, what did you learn from this situation? What did you see out of this? How could you have done that differently? Not just your basic day-to-day parenting crap. I'm talking like really in-depth of who they are, and how racially that affects people. That's just going around saying, oh, you know, you shouldn't like that kid. He's a nigger. No, what about that kid is different? How does he act? What is he doing differently? But at this point, I've almost given up on trying to, quote unquote, against with analogies, red pill people. I'm done with that shit. I did that when I was a kid. It's great. It's fantastic if people can still reach people. And to some extent, I actually have still reached some people. I don't know how, because I'm just belligerent and angry all the time.
One thing I personally have always caught flack for, not so much among the party itself, but among people that aspire to be Northwest whatever, you know, associated with the party, is that I don't believe waking people up is a thing. Because to be perfectly honest and introspective about my own experience, I made developments when I decided to start paying attention to things that I previously thought I didn't need to pay attention to.
Yeah, most of it's self-realization.
It is self-induced realizations. It very much is. So we need to be totally honest about, you know, especially all these alt-right kiddies on Twitter telling me, we're waking people up. Ha, 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 you're wrong. And it's like, okay, so they're awake. What do they do then?
And that's the problem,
What did you do? You know, if you got woken up, you know, quote unquote, because I don't think that happens, but let's pretend they got woken up. Well, if all they did was wake other people up, it was for nothing. You know, that's why I'm so against it, is that all it ever produces is more nothing.
And I think that's one of the lower takeaways from the digital medium, is the fact that there's no, like when I was coming up and doing my thing, I was taught and shown things and was told to read things and was shown things. And now it's just like, it's so drive-by, picking up splashy cool stuff along the way. They're not getting that, like, hands down kind of like mentorship that I was fortunate enough to get from certain people about racial identity. It's all memes and it's just, it's completely different. But like I said, a very small percentage of people have actually been able to make the transition over to more NS thinking. But whether they're committed or not, or willing to live that as a lifestyle, that's yet to be said. I don't know. And like I said, this is the big swell from the big Trump administration nationalism scene, from the constitutional faggots and the oath keepers and all those other fence-sitting cucknight pieces of shit. But during that swell, I'm sure that groups like NSM and Northwest Front and 100 other organizations, 890 organizations, according to the SPLC hate map that I could probably rattle off, have had their numbers swell because of the Trump nationalism thing. But along with that, as I've said, you have the problems that come with it. And I think a lot of the shortcomings is this whole digital medium where people aren't schooled or come from the old school. They're not like taught the ins, outs, or rights of what it is to be NS or 14 or anything like that. You know, you have fucking people at Walmart, like we've discussed, Zeke Hyland 1488 fucking signs and posting that on Twitter. Come on, man. You know, I mean, it's become very drive-by. Unfortunately, a lot of that commitment part is probably the Achilles heel, especially organizations to like Northwest Front.
Well, and what's really interesting about any sort of national socialist position is that, again, it's right wing, not left wing. It is genuinely right wing. Mm. And the most important thing about that is when you take that type of socialism, it's not everybody supporting you. It's you doing what everybody else needs of you. So even if someone isn't necessarily that NS, if they want to be genuine white nationalist, they need to do what's good for white people, like you say. They need to live this out as a lifestyle. And I can't claim to have done a whole lot for our numbers, because again, I'm not married, so I have no children. But the reality is that I'm doing everything else I can for the party, because this is the only solution we've got. Right. And this is why I say I may or may not be national socialist, but I can't think of the biblical parable where there was the issue of who is my son. There were two people. One was the biological son of the father, and the other was somebody else. Right. And so there was this issue of who is my son, the one who hears my word and doesn't do it, or the one that does the right thing, even though he's not really my son. You know, that's really the issue here, is what are you? Anyway, but this is the real issue, right? It's like, okay, you want to be white nationalist, you want to be national socialist, like you say, national socialism, and this is something I always knew about it, even when I wasn't quite sure what it was all about, was you actually live it, right? And it should be that way with your white nationalism too. And that's the thing with the alt-right, is that they're just memeing each other. right? They think they're alt-right because they're laughing at the same memes. They're being validated wrongly for sharing jokes on the internet. Some of them are funny. Some of them are well put together. The technical quality on some of the videos and other media is fantastic. But at the end of the day, you're just memeing each other. You're getting validation because you're part of the same self-created group that does nothing for white people. And I know you guys are on board with the NF, so it's easy for me to say that to you guys, that, look, you want to be a real national socialist, you want to be a real white nationalist, whatever, you got to do this, because it's all we've got.
Yeah, and to kind of maybe sum it up, kind of, well, how this all kind of came about, the National Socialist Party, at least. I think the old man usually says the NF is a community of blood, too, not faith.
Correct. Well, and even then, he's including National Socialism as a racial religion in that context. Yes. But it's also the case that I don't have any particular favorite among the various sectarian elements of white nationalism, because I've noticed that a whole lot of people claim a whole lot of things. They're either super into this religion or not really into religion at all, or super opposed to any religion, or they have this political philosophy or this type of esoteric outlook. I haven't seen any great difference in any one of those things spurring people to do the Northwest Imperative. It all seems to be pretty even-handed across the board. So that's one of the real reasons we don't have a favorite there, is that it doesn't seem as though any one of those things naturally inclines someone or naturally inhibits them from doing what needs done.
No, and first order of things, too, real quick, is survival to begin with.
Of course.
That's number one to begin with.
Of course. A lot of the analogies I'll draw and a lot of the lessons I'll use are obviously Christian-based, but that's how I was raised, so that's what I know. And I will say this much about doing the right thing. That was kind of a commitment I made. I told you that story about seeing all of what happens to these women that end up single moms. I mean, that's one of those things you do not put a really responsible man won't put a woman in that position, because it's awful for her and her children. And a really responsible woman won't end up in that position because she has the veto power to stop it from the word go, right? And it's really important that we all do what's right for each other. And that has to happen on an individual level. And I will say this, I have not seen among any religious or political sectarian philosophies in white nationalism, if somebody wants to dump this religion and pick up that religion because that's what's going to make them do the right thing, or that's the framework they need to work it out, okay.
Yep.
You know what? Fine. I'm not going to say no to that, because if it made you do the right thing, then it worked.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to browbeat anybody if they don't exactly have my opinions on those things, because, heck, I talk to a lot of people on Twitter that are planning their migrations. We don't see eye to eye on that stuff, but we see eye to eye on everything else, and it turns out that stuff just doesn't really matter when we're talking about survival.
And I think that's a great incentive for the Northwest Front, too, and definitely a lot versus other groups. If you don't fit into their exact pinpoint ideology, there's often a lot of friction and bullshit and problems. And I've noticed that Northwest Front, you can be, you know, as long as your foundations are pretty much set in stone, there's obviously a short to long checklist of what you accept and what you think is white identity and white nationalism is, then yeah, you know, you're pretty much good to go as far as like being your Dixie type patriots, your Southern Baptists. I've told Goy many times, I mean, for me, it doesn't go any further than Adolf Hitler for me. But I've known people down south that would gladly hang a nigger on Saturday night and go to church on Sunday morning. So their relationship with whatever God or deity.
I mean, that's always my question.
I don't know.
That's always my question. It's kind of like, well, I mean, going back to the Bible, there's a segment of Proverbs, and I'm pretty sure it's the New King James that phrases it this way, but it's something about the righteous man will cast righteous judgment and a great joy will come upon him. And that's just reality, is that if somebody did something genuinely wrong to the point where you got to string them up or something like that.
Well, I'm not going to lose any sleep over a dead nigger, but at the same time.
That's just it. It's like, no nigger has ever lost sleep over dead South Africans. So I'm
right,
not,
exactly.
You know, it's just like,
so
well, and that's the other thing is, well, go ahead. Sorry.
No, well, I just meant it was rounding up to say that it was interesting to me that the Northwest Front was able to do that and willing to do that, because it collectively makes sense, and it's the right thing to do. You can have your Dixie Baptist alongside people like myself who worship at the altar of Adolf Hitler, if you will, in the same general area, maybe possibly in different camps down the line, but at the same time still would fight side by side to get the job done. And that's a lot huger. That's a lot smaller gap than, say, us and Base Stick Man and the alt-right and all those.
You know, what drives me nuts about Base Stick Man is the number of times he's outright insulted white nationalism on his social media accounts, and the alt-right still worships at his shrine.
We did a really good show.
The alt-right donated tens of thousands to that asshole.
How the hell did Andrew Anglin manage to raise $150,000? I mean, it's Andrew Anglin and Weave and the right white Sharia nonsense crowd and all that. It's baffling to me that people still fall for that, even when he openly mocks people who call him out for male mud sharking.
Yeah, and I could tell a G all the time, man. It's me and him against the entire world, bro.
Well, and it's going to have to be that way because until, I mean, well, this is the other thing that baffles me.
Oh, no, we're hated and proud. Don't worry about that.
Likewise. Yep. But this is the situation is that it's going to be us against the world, except for white communities. And what cracks me up about the white communities crowd on Twitter and in the alt-right is, look, the Northwest Front has had better success than anybody with that. And yet, no, you don't do Northwest, even though, basically all we're talking about right now is white communities. That's not the end game, obviously, but that's what we need right now, and it's what we do. Now, like I told you, the guys that normally help out with the call-in show called me about some stuff, and I'm kind of going to drop what I'm doing early next week and go take care of it. Why? Because that's my community. There have been a whole lot of times where I found out, I recall, I hadn't even been here a year yet. It was end of summer 2012. I hadn't even been here a year, but somebody else was moving in not too far away from Harold after they'd done their scouting trip the month before. They didn't have anybody to unload their van with them. It was an adult man, his wife, and his two daughters, and they're both tiny. What do you think I did? I barely know the guy. I dropped what I was doing, went over and unloaded an entire huge truck with him. This business that there's so much white community and pro-white unity and whatever, you know, if that were true, you wouldn't have to keep saying it.
Exactly.
And nobody here even bats an eye at the suggestion that we're going to have to take care of each other when somebody needs something like that.
Damn right.
This idea that, oh, the Northwest Front is fake and Harold's not doing anything and it's just Harold and all of these things that white nationalism told itself for years and the same lies that the alt-right full well knowingly tells itself now. Like I said earlier and like we agreed, that's the tell, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Hey, don't sell yourself short either, Donnertron. You're supposed to be a robot.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That joke has always baffled me because
robot.
It's stupid.
Anytime that's the troll accusation that Harold always gets, that anytime anybody comes on Radio Free Northwest, they're a robot because Harold's all alone up here. That isn't true. Had never been true. Admittedly, I can't be too mad at that joke though, because my first few RFN submissions were pretty bad. No, that's always been the accusation, is Harold is fibbing about all of these things, and I can tell you for a fact he's not.
No, that's bullshit, because if I remember right, because I've listened to his archives more than twice, I think three times I went through them, and it took me a while, but I have a job where I have the time while I'm working to actually do that. But if I remember, did you start contributing like late or mid-2012?
Mid-2012.
Yeah, and you've been pretty damn consistent, and I can't really remember. I don't think at any time I thought your contributions were bad, but you're really good at what you do. So, like you said, it's just people talking shit once again because either they don't understand or they can't commit. I don't know.
Every argument I've had with somebody, or even every semi-aggressive conversation, and I'll be honest, I will have aggressive conversations and hurt people's feelings over this stuff because this, oh, I'm pro-white, whites need to unite, white unity, white communities, you know, let's go get the ethno states. Like, okay, so go do this. No, I don't, that's fake. That's not real. Well, it has always baffled me. Doubly so after being involved with the party and seeing some of the garbage Harold deals with on a weekly basis. Just the amount of the first thing we get from a lot of people is just, here's why I can't migrate, and here's why you need to listen to everything else I have to say. That came to a head very late 2015, which is what spurred a lot of the material in the Theorycraft podcast and now the follow-up I'm working on. And that has taken a lot longer than I wanted it to. But one, there's kind of a hard section where I actually have to do a little bit of navel gazing, and semi-narcissist talks about, here's how I've succeeded. Here's what the definition of success is. And the other thing is that, you know, Bob Whitaker recently passed, you know, probably the last couple months. I was going to talk about Bob Whitaker, so I need to put some space in there, right? Which is too bad because I don't have anything derogatory to say about him. But the point I'm making is still going to piss people off. You know, just this issue of, okay, you know for a fact everything you're doing is not real, or it's words on the internet or whatever. You can get what you want, but you guys obviously have some years under your belt, and you kind of learn you learn that a lot of life lessons are paradoxical. And one of the things I learned early on in my life is that the thing you most want is going to be found in the place you least want to look. White people can get their ethno state, but they're going to have to go do it. You're not going to get your ethno state by tweeting memes or by passing around dumbass speeches by Richard Spencer. Or like, no, really, people would tag me on Facebook and say, you got to watch this thing. And it was various speeches that he's given. And one of them was one of the big rallies where he was trying to rehabilitate Mike the Kike Enoch. And the whole time, nobody said anything that had any substance to it, right? It was just white people, woo! And like, come on, can't we do better than that?
And what are these guys saying that you can't read and get a hell of a lot more factual information and more history if you pick up a book by either Covington or Pierce or someone like that? I just,
well, what those people are taboo. That's all taboo.
I know.
Not to.
Yeah, and it's a lot more hardcore. I know that. But look, you talk about Paige and how much of an anomaly she is. Well, one of the odd coincidences that happened early in her life, she picked up Mein Kampf. And even though she didn't probably necessarily understand everything in there, I bet you any money that's one of the big points in her life that she made that transition, that ultra quick, lightning fast transition from alt-right. She was like, oh, what is this, to NS? Oh, and yeah, hopefully she stays there.
Yeah, I hope so too. I mean, she's openly dismissed the alt-right. And it's, like I said, it's a big thing for someone in her generation. That doesn't happen that often.
I've never heard of somebody going NS and sliding back. I've never heard of that.
Very rarely. Yep.
Very rarely. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know, man. Lanza boy, should we probably start winding down?
Yeah, I just want to say one thing, Mr. Donner. If and, you know, not if, but when Mr. Goyhammer here does make his migration, and trust me, he's already making preparations to do so. I think he's looking at a 2-year window. I hope that he does reach out and you can use his abilities, because there is no one more devoted, and as far as me on a personal level, know anybody who is takes to heart the Northwest Initiative than himself. So I really hope that he will become an asset and very useful to you out there in the Northwest, because there's no one I know more dedicated to that initiative.
Well, I can certainly say we would like nothing more.
Yeah, that's nice of you, brother. And speaking of which, Andy, you were talking about the guy moving out and only having no one to help him move. Well, Lanza here just did that. And actually, he stopped everything he was doing. He was actually out of town, came back into town. And it was actually, if you don't mind me saying, I can edit, but it was actually his wife's birthday weekend too. And he came back to town and he offered, and he was the only one to help move all my shit. So,
oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
That wasn't fun.
No, and I.
Well, you're going to have to promise to stop back by Racing Nation sometime and have another conversation with us.
That'd be great, because it kind of sucked this time because we're in a real funky limbo. But it'll be fine, because what we just talked about, it's nothing that it's dated. It's going to be interesting regardless 1 year, 5 year, 10 years down the road. So I'm not worried about that. But
I will say that I hope I'm wrong and the alt-right just up and dies tomorrow.
I don't think that's going to happen, but it's definitely my sentiment. I want to thank Mr. Andy Donner of the Northwest Front for stopping in today. Thank you kindly, sir, for letting me twist your arm and you arriving today and dropping some serious things for me to ponder over the next couple of days. I want to thank Lord Goyhammer and everyone in the Racing Nation family. I want to say hail victory.
Hail victory.
Defeat never, victory forever.
This program is brought to you by the Northwest Front, Post Office Box 2188, Bremerton, Washington, 98310, or you can go to the party's website at www.northwestfront.org. This is Harold Covington, and I'll see you next week. Until then, Sasha Andaban. Freedom.